Second Corinthians chapter 6 says, "We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee," or helped thee, drawn thee. "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry might not be blamed, but in all things approving or commending ourselves as the ministers of God." Now, you'll notice it says "in all things," so I like the way the King James reads in verses 4 and 5. You have in. He says "in all things," "in all of these things." And then he says "commending ourselves," verse 6 begins, "by pureness," by knowledge, how they commend themselves as the ministers of God. And then he ends with the paradoxes that are involved in that. But he says, "but in all things," verse 4, "approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience," that's part of "in all things," "in afflictions," "in necessities," "in distresses," "in stripes," "in imprisonments," "in tumults," "in labors," "in watchings," "in fastings," "commending ourselves by pureness," "by knowledge," "by long-suffering," "by kindness," "by the Holy Ghost," "by love unfeigned," "by the word of truth," "by the power of God," "by the armor of righteousness," on the right hand and on the left, "and by honor and dishonor," the paradoxes, "by evil report and good report, as deceivers yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as chastened, not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things." Paul is continuing a thought that he began in chapter 5, verse 20. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he," God, "hath made him," Christ, that is, "to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We then," there's your connecting thought, "as workers," the idea is ambassadors, "together with him," with God, "beseech you also." We're beseeching you also. God is beseeching you. He said, it's as though God did beseech you by us, in fact, in verse 20. "We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain." Paul, understanding the struggles there in Corinth, the first letter to the Corinthians, here is a place where he labored for 2 years, and many of the Corinthians were still involved in sexual sin, many of them getting drunk at the communion table, suing one another, taking each other to the civil courts, divided. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. And Paul just thinking, you know, the immeasure of grace that's been extended to you. I just pray, along with God, we're beseeching you not to receive the grace of God in vain. No doubt he's thinking on the other end, that we can take the grace of God in vain by backsliding or by front sliding. And the Judaizers were there, and they're convincing people, you know, if you, you know, don't smoke and don't chew and don't go out with the girls that do, you're better than other people. You know, you keep rules and regulations and, you know, you don't do this and you don't do that. You don't do this and you don't do that. We'll never know who you are by what you don't do. We only know who you are by what you do. But Christians sometimes love to be legalistic because it makes them feel better about themselves, and the Judaizers were winning converts away from the grace of God. And to those people, Paul is saying, you know, we beseech you not to have taken the grace of God in vain. And then certainly to those in Corinth who presumed that they were believers. They came and they sat in church every week, year after year sometimes, and thought other people really need to hear this, never realizing in their own heart they have not yet come. They have religion. They have religious behavior, behavior modification. No miracle, no regeneration, no new birth, no power of God in their lives, no transformed life through the gospel. Paul says, we don't want to see this. The grace of God received in vain. Because look, to backsliders, to prodigals that might be here, you know, church can become routine. Go every week, becomes part of the weekly schedule, do this, do that. You know, realize around the world today there are Christians that are persecuted for their faith. Thrown in prison, martyred. Again, the last century, the heaviest century of martyrdom in the history of the Christian church. More Christians martyred in the last 100 years than in the 1900 years before that combined. And because we live in this insular, you know, society where, you know, our, all of the trouble in the world to us is visions on the television and not reality in our lives, we can take things for granted. So then, you know, it goes like this, little by little. You know, the Holy Spirit says to us, you know, don't mess with that. Well, because I'm in the Christian routine, I'm a Christian, I go to church, we can kind of grieve the Spirit. No, I understand. And then the same thing over and over. And little by little, and increment by increment, learning not to listen to the constant speaking of the Holy Spirit and of the Word of God, and all of a sudden desensitized to the point where there's some major error or major fall, having received the grace of God in vain. Or becoming so religious, so Pharisaical, that we look down our nose at other people all the time. And then all of a sudden find ourselves outside of the grace of God. Or maybe sitting week after week after week, hearing the offer of God. Paul said, it's as though God did beseech you by us. He says, here, we are workers together with Him, he says. And beseech you also, God is begging some that sit in this service week after week, begging them not to receive His grace in vain. God will speak to some sitting here today, as He has spoken many times. And I would encourage you, because each time you hear God's grace extended to you and you reject it, it becomes more of a habit and easier to do. And if God's grace is extended to you today and He offers you His love and His forgiveness today, and you walk out of this building unchanged, it's because you have made a choice to turn your back on the grace of God. You've made a choice to walk out unsaved. There is no neglect on God's end. He welcomes all. Jesus was constantly criticized for eating with the tax gatherers, the prostitutes, the drunkards. There is no one outside of the reach of God's grace. And Paul, knowing how important this ministry is, he says down in verse 3, look, we want to give no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. We want to give no offense. That word offense is the only time it's used in the New Testament. It means to cause, to misstep. We don't want to cause anybody to stumble. We don't want to cause anybody to misstep. It's because there are no shortage of people looking for hypocrisy in the life of believers or people that are witnessing to them. There is no shortage of critics out there that are under conviction, taking the grace of God in vain, and they want to find error in your life so that they have an excuse not to turn to Christ. They can't find any error in him, but they can find error in you. Paul says here, he says, we don't want to give any offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. You know, and this is for all of us as Christians. Our testimony, our walk, and our talk should match. So this is what Paul says, his commitment, and these verses do speak to us of commitment. Paul says this, but rather than giving offense, look at verse 4, but in all things, but Paul is way more of a man than I am. In all things, whatever circumstance comes, he says, we are commending ourselves as servants of God, not of man. And this is what he says. In all things, in much patience, that's the bearing up under pressure, hupomone, in much patience. You think of the things that came on Paul's life. He says, in all things, commending ourselves, because we don't want to stumble anybody. So in much patience, in affliction, thalipsis, the pressure, the threshing sled being drug over the life. The pain that this man went through and many around the world today. In afflictions, in all things, commending ourselves. In necessities, this is not wants, this is necessities. Paul says, how often as a missionary, as an apostle, as a Christian in a hostile environment, we're left in necessity. We need, sometimes we find ourselves needing the basic things in life, and they're not there. But we're willing to live that way for the cause of Christ. In necessities, in distresses. Well, necessities and afflictions will add distresses to you. You add up the first three, you got distresses. You think of some of the things that he went through. In stripes, this is not a fashion statement. You know, whipped, he says, receiving 39 stripes a number of times, beaten with rods. It was interesting when Daniel was here several weeks ago, having come to faith in Egypt, talked about being thrown in the Egyptian prison and not brushing his teeth for 8 months, not taking a bath or a shower for 8 months, being beaten and afflicted. And yet he said, nobody could get away from me. I shared the gospel with everyone. They called him Bishop Daniel while they had him in there. I think they finally let him go to get him out. He was making converts. He said, in America, he said, you do something wrong, they put you in. You have television, you have a weight room, you have a spa, you have a place to play basketball, you have good food. He said, you can't find a job, you go to jail in America. It's like staying in a hotel. You know, you hear it with the Egyptian accent. He's amazed. He said, over there, they throw you in this dirty hole, no light, no bathroom. You're going to the bathroom in the same cell that you're in for months. There's a dirt floor, no water. No, you know, he said, here it's a hotel. Paul says, in prisons, in tumults, Paul would preach the gospel and start riots, in labors, this is laboring to the point of exhaustion, in watchings, the idea is nights without sleep, getting somewhere late, their lives are under threat, having to pray all night, not getting to sleep. In fastings, some of that fasting Paul did was voluntary. Some of it was forced upon him just because there wasn't bread for the day. And what he's saying here, he said, this is my commitment. These are the things I'm willing to go through that nobody is tripped up. There's no offense. The ministry is not blamed. He says, in all things, we're determined to live a certain way, letting these Corinthians know how much you love them. Now, in all of these circumstances, and he says, the way we commend ourselves in these circumstances is by this, verse 6, by pureness. Nothing wrong with purity in the church today, man, because there sure is a tide in the other direction. By knowledge, by long-suffering, I don't know how long-suffering look, and by kindness, how long-suffering and kind I am when I'm in affliction and necessity and distress and getting beaten and thrown in prison. I don't know how long-suffering and kind I would be. But Paul says, we're commending ourselves in these difficult circumstances by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love, the idea is unfeigned, unhypocritical love, by genuine love, by the Word of God, the Word of truth, how wonderful, and by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, yes, beaten, afflicted, going without sleep, fasting, but the armor he has on, he says, it is the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. And living that way and commending yourselves, you find yourself in the middle of a number of paradoxes, by honor and dishonor. Some people are saying to you, thank you so much. Thank you so much for sharing Christ with my husband. You know, he's been an alcoholic for years, and now his life has turned around. He's doing so good. And someone else is saying, just shut up. I'm sick of hearing of it. The same thing. The same story. He says, by honor and dishonor, by evil report, they're nuts. All they're doing is this Jesus thing. They've flipped out. They're a Jesus freak. And somebody else is saying, man, you see them, their life has changed. What's going on with their... He says, by evil report, by good report. As deceivers, doesn't say they're deceivers, as deceivers, yet true. As unknown, treat you like, I don't even know who you are, yet well known. As dying, he says, but we live. We live. People think laying down your life for Christ is dying. He said, no. We live. We're alive. As chastened, not killed. We're not going to see death. As sorrowful, he said, yet always rejoicing. Always rejoicing. As poor. Oh, poor kid. They had so much potential. And they went to the mission field. You know, it's that church. That church has influenced them, you know, that cult up there. They could have been a doctor. They could have been a lawyer. They could have been a surgeon. They could have been a politician. Oh, that's not good. They could have been, you know, I mean, you know. And they chose to do that. As poor, yet making many rich. There's no poverty in that. As having nothing. As having nothing. Doesn't say he had nothing. As having nothing, yet possessing all things. There's a home prepared for us, a kingdom ahead of us. Now look, Paul says this is the commitment that we've made. This is the way we're willing to live. I go through that checklist and I fall way short. This guy was all gristle. He was made of steel. Iron Man is not Robert Downey Jr. It's Paul the Apostle. He's Iron Man 4, 5, and 6. And he says, look, the reason we're doing all this, he says, is because we are ambassadors. We're co-laborers, verse 1. We, as workers together with him, with God, we beseech you also. God is beseeching you, so are we, that you receive not the grace of God in vain. And this is what he says. Therefore he, God Almighty, saith, and he quotes now from Isaiah, and it's a part in Isaiah where Isaiah is speaking to the Gentiles, to the nations, and Paul's applying it certainly to the Corinthians, and to you and to I. For he saith, God Almighty, I have heard thee in a time accepted and in the day of salvation. The word time there is kairos. It isn't chronos, which just speaks of time itself. It's in a specific season, in a particular situation. God said, I have heard you. You've cried out. You may have played one thing on the outside, but inside your heart is screaming something else. And God says, I have heard you. I've heard, he says. In a specific time. And in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Which means to help. It's eight times in the New Testament. Six times it's translated help. It means to help or to draw to oneself to give consolation. God says, I have heard you and I have helped you. And then he says, Paul says this, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. He knows twice by the mouth of two or three witnesses. Why now? Behold, he says, which means consider, think about this. Now, he says, is the accepted time. I've heard you. In the accepted time. The accepted time is now. I've heard you in the day of salvation. Behold, consider this, now. This is the day of salvation. Why does he say now twice? And put it before us twice. Paul says, you know, because of all of these things, this is the commitment we made. This is the life that we live. These are the difficulties we go through. This is how we commend ourselves under the most adverse circumstances, in pureness and in trust and in long suffering. He said we endure all kinds of accusations. Why? He says, because God has entrusted something to us, and we know that now he's speaking. Now he's reaching out. And he says now to us, and he says, behold, before it each time. Think about this. Now. And the reason that he says now to us twice is because of this. Now is the only certain thing that you have. This afternoon is not certain. Tomorrow is not certain. What's certain is now. Now. If you're here today and you have not yet come to Christ, Paul says, he saith, God is speaking. And this is what he's saying. Now is the accepted time. Not next Sunday. You have now. In the world we live in, this week, we don't know if the building's going to fall on you. We don't know if some disgruntled worker's going to walk in with a pistol and kill six people where you work, and you're going to be one of them. We don't know if you'll be part of a traffic fatality or a stroke. We know this. He saith now. Is the accepted time. Consider that. Behold now. Behold now is the day of salvation. Please listen to me. If you walk out of here unsaved today, it's because you made a choice to walk out of here unsaved today. Because God's word says that God Almighty is beseeching you by us. That he loves you so much that he caused his own dear son, who knew no sin, to become sin. All of your sin was on him, that you might be the righteousness of God. And he's extended grace to you today, if you don't know him, that is immeasurable. You're sitting here, you're listening to this. And he saith, Paul says, God Almighty is saying, behold, I want you to think about this now. My love for you. The reason I forsook my own son so that I could make you my own. The reason I had him pay the price on the cross so that you won't ever have to come under my judgment for your sin. All of those things are coming to you, God says, right now. Behold, consider this, now is the day of salvation. You have to decide what to do with that. The scripture says, let God be true and every man a liar. And if you come here week after week and listen to the truth and walk out without responding, it becomes callous. You slowly, incrementally become harder and harder in your heart. And God is able to break that down. If you're a prodigal, a backslider, now is the accepted time. God hears you. He loves you. It says in the Old Testament, God loves the backslider and will heal him. Don't let anyone else tell you what God is like. Let Jesus tell you. He says, no man knows the Father but the one who comes down from above. And he says, the Father, when he sees a backslider turn in his direction, runs and weeps and embraces him, throws his arms around him, receives him back into the family of God. You choose. Don't receive that grace in vain today. Now is the time that God is hearing you. Now is the time that he would help you. Now. We don't know what's going to happen this week. You have now. You do not have tomorrow. You have now. And every one of us now is the time for us to say, Lord, help me like Paul. I want to live my life so that I don't stumble anyone or cause anyone to misstep. I don't want to bring a reproach to the ministry, Lord. Help me in all things, whatever and however difficult the list is, by pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering, and by kindness, by the word of God, by the Holy Spirit, by the power of God, by the armor on the right and left. Lord, help me to do those things. Though I may be accused of this, I know this is true. Though I might be called a deceiver, yet I know that's not true, Lord. Though I might be accused of this, though I know that's not true, Lord. Though people think I've lost everything, Lord, I have everything. They think I have nothing, I possess all things, Lord. What a great inventory for you and I as believers to look through and say, Lord, help me do that. Don't let there be things in my life that would stumble anyone else or give them an excuse to point the finger and bring an accusation against the ministry. Because I can do that. I can do that. I can do it. I could have done it last week. I'll have opportunities this week. I had someone last week I wanted to get in the flesh. I would have enjoyed it for a minute. I might even enjoy it as a fond memory. But it would not have been right for the Spirit of the Lord. I'm going to have the musicians come and we'll sing a last song. Again, let me challenge you this way. Brethren, Blacksliders, rebels, prodigals, please listen now. Not next week. Not I need to get this together, that together, now. God says it. Behold, now. Listen to me. Backsliders, prodigals. You see what's happening in the world that we live in. Jesus says he's going to come like a thief in the night. That can happen in an individual life by a tragedy, or it can happen when he descends for his church. But the point is, he gives us this, filled with grace. Don't take it for granted or in vain. Now is the acceptable time. Prodigals, now is the day of salvation. Now is the right environment. Grace is extended to you. Settle that today, please. To those of you who have not yet made that commitment, I had somebody come to me after the first service and say, you know, I sat here for a year and a half saying, yeah, those people need to get saved. Yeah, those people. And he said it was a year and a half before I went down and got saved. I don't know if we have a year and a half, if there's another one of you here. I don't know if we have next week. I know this. We have now. God's love is here for you now. His complete acceptance is for you right now. This is the day of salvation right now. And if you walk out of here in your sin without forgiveness, it's because you've made a choice to take the grace of God for granted. You've received it in vain. So I'm going to ask you, if you don't know Christ today, not religion, not Calvary Chapel, Him. As we sing a last song, just get out of your seat and come down and stand here right in front of everybody. The Lord left glory. Glory. John sees him on the Isle of Patmos, his eyes aflame of fire. His countenance like the sun shining in his strength. Golden breastplate, feet burning like brass. His voice like the voice of many waters. He came to this earth and was spit on and beaten beyond human recognition and nailed to a cross. And he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that you might be the righteousness of God. And the offer is being made now as I speak to many of you. Not church, not Calvary Chapel, not religion, Jesus Christ. God's love, Jesus Christ. God's love, Jesus Christ on the cross. We see Him on the cross reconciling the world to Himself, Paul says. Now, if you will hear His voice, now, today is the day. Because you walk out of here and you get distracted by traffic. You get distracted by shopping. You get distracted by the heat and the Spurs. You get distracted by a thousand other things. Now. Now. as we play this last song. God is offering His love and His forgiveness. Let's stand. Let's pray. I encourage you to come, to give your life to Him today. As we sing this last song, to slip out of the aisle. If a friend brought you, they're going to say, come on, I'll go down with you. That you come and you stand here. Father, I know you've overheard. Lord, these things are filled with wonder, Lord. I know as Christians, Father, many of us look at this list of beatings and imprisonment and we realize, Lord, what an easy and opulent lifestyle we have, Father. We are so spoiled in so many ways. We pray, Lord, if days of great difficulty come, that we may, by your grace, bear up under those things for the cause of the gospel. And Lord, that even now, all the other things that apply, purity and knowledge and long-suffering and kindness, Lord, even now we're so selfish, even those things find it hard to work out of our lives to others. Lord, bring us under the power of your Spirit and of your word, Lord. Grant us, Lord, the armor of light on the right and on the left. Lord, allow us to wade our way through the paradoxes and the accusations of life. But Lord, for those here who have never come, Lord, your word says now, Lord. Think of how huge that word is, Lord. Think of as human beings, we tend to relegate it to a short span now. We think as heaven speaks that word, how huge it is, Lord. How huge it is, Lord, that right now your love is being offered right now, Lord. How huge that is, Lord. Embrace the heart of every sinner here, Lord. Every child that has not yet come home, Lord. You add to the church daily such as should be saved, Lord. We pray all across this room, Lord, you would work in our hearts, Lord, whether we be prodigals or backsliders, Lord, is certainly those who are unbelieving, Lord, who have never come. But now, Lord, they would respond. They would not receive your grace in vain. It's your word, Lord. It will abide forever, Lord. Thank you for this moment, in this moment. Draw them, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.